Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Just over 4 years ago, my family and I were called to Mount Olivet, and as is the case with every pastoral candidate that gets to that stage of being called, the final step is to go to the Minneapolis campus, have you congregation vote on the candidate after the candidate gives a short message. And I will never forget getting up to speak in Minneapolis because, first of all, if you've ever been there, it's a super long path to the front. And as I made my way there, I went searching for my notes, and I couldn't find them anywhere. And I realized quickly that my elementary school son at the time had stolen them. You see, he did not really want to move. He loved his life in Northfield, Minnesota, where we were currently living and serving a church, and it did not make sense for him to make a change in the midst of something that seemed so good. And that moment of him doing that, of course, made my husband and myself, made us figure out what we needed to talk to him about, because this is a big deal, making a big move at that time in anyone's life. And we realized that actually what he did was right in line with what this passage from Romans is talking about today, what Paul is illustrating. Number one, we had to tell our son that our lives are not our own. In baptism, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit and marked with the cross of Christ forever. And because we are Spirit-led people, the Spirit's call does not always come in the ways or in the timing that we would choose. That's not easy for any of us to hear, but especially for a fourth or fifth grader, whatever age he was. Secondly, though, we thought it was pretty awesome that our son felt so comfortable expressing his true feelings about the nudging of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul says that in this text, too. He says, when we are that comfortable with God, we should be able to talk to him like a father, like we are members of God's family. We should talk to our parents and cry out, Abba, Father, and know that God will listen. And thirdly, life may not always be easy, we told our son, but God promises that it will always be good. In stealing my notes, my son was essentially asking the question, why? And that is the question that we've decided to wrap our whole sermon series around this fall, why church? And today we answer that question with the answer so that we can grow, change and grow. Change and growth are things that don't really get talked about too much together. We talk a lot about growth and growth mindset and getting big numbers and growth in all sorts of places. But we rarely like to talk about change. We, in fact, like to avoid the topic of change. And the reality is the two of them go hand in hand. Although Mount Olivet is an exception to most mainline churches, statistics keep pointing out that Christian church numbers are declining, and that is making people nervous. A 2022 Pew Research study states that if recent trends in religion continue, Christians could make up less than half of the U.S. population within a few decades. And churches everywhere hear statistics like this, and they start asking the question, why? As a recent Atlantic article points out, the problem in front of us is not that we have a healthy, sustainable society that doesn't have room for church. The problem is that many Americans have adopted a way of life that has left us lonely and anxious and uncertain about how to live in community with other people. People are pretty comfortable being in front of their phones and alone, but to enter a series of people and have to interact with them, that makes a person nervous, and yet it's exactly what people are longing for, I think. Today, Paul reminds the early church that we are all part of one another. There's a huge difference between being people sitting in the vicinity of each other. Just last night, my family was together for a family meal and 10 grandkids together. I hate to show bad stuff about them, but they're all on their phones, like in the same room. And I said, we need to have a basket here so that we just stop stick our phones in the basket, and then we can be together when we are together. Pastor Tim Keller wisely points out that a congregation is not like us all being in one place and all on our phones at the same time. Instead, a congregation is more than an aggregation. An aggregation is like a bunch of marbles in a bag. A congregation is like grapes organically connected to one another on a vine. A bag of marbles may be close to one another, but there is no organic connection. Grapes on a vine share a source of life. And so people often ask us, why church? Why become a member? Because members of a church affirm that we belong to one another. And as the reading today says, we are brothers and sisters, in fact, in Christ. Like grapes on a vine, we are constantly changing, constantly growing, and we are sharing in the life of the one true source, which is Jesus. Though mainline church statistics make us feel a little bit nervous, Nadia Boltz-Weber has a great word of hope for us. She says, these signs that make us think the church is declining are perhaps signs of a kingdom slipping away, but not necessarily signs of the kingdom slipping away. And it is the kingdom that Paul talks about in his message today, that he writes to this early church that's all full of newness and wonder about what life is going to be like. Because they are spirit-led, Paul tells them they can live with courage, not fear. And because they can live with courage, they can change and they can grow. Reinhold Niebuhr says it well with his famous prayer that is used as the foundation for so many 12-step programs out there. And wouldn't you know, right as we were praying this morning, I got a knock on the door. We heard a knock on the door, and Rocky, our parking lot attendant, said, "Hey, Pastor Becca, I've got something for you." And I said, "Rocky, I'm going to be saying that in my sermon today." And both of us said, "No way, that's such a God moment." But this is what I said I was going to say. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Change isn't easy, but change helps us grow. A couple of months ago, I was preaching at the Minneapolis campus, and I went to greet a pew full of men that were sitting in the narthex. There's a pew out there after service. And they were lifelong church members in their 80s. And somewhere in their lives, they were given the message not to wear shorts to church. I know this because upon greeting one of the men, his opening words to me were, "I'm so sorry I'm wearing shorts today, Pastor Freeman. I've never done this in my whole life. Here I am, an 80-plus-year-old man, and I'm sort of embarrassed. It's just that it was over 90 degrees outside." And I asked him, "Where did you hear that you can't wear shorts to church?" And he said, "I don't know, but someone told it to me once a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it." And this is what I said: what you wear to worship, I have to believe, is the least of God's concerns. In fact, what you wear, the structures that surround you, as beautiful as they are, and we can all attest to that this morning, the church community, all these like extra things are what Martin Luther calls adiaphora. They are not central to the message of the kingdom of God. In fact, I have to believe God is rather indifferent to these things. For God's kingdom is governed by the Spirit. And that's what we hear the Apostle Paul say over and over again today. And when God's Spirit beckons, there are things to do and there are places to go. We're not concerned about what we look like or all those little things. God's Spirit brings resurrection. And resurrection life brings change and growth. Jesus died for you, Jesus rose for you, and Jesus gave you the Holy Spirit to walk with you all the days of your life. Does the church look the same today as it did 50 years ago? No. And does the church look the same as it will in 50 years? Probably not. Will the kingdom of God still be alive? Absolutely yes, because the Spirit of God is upon us. So why church? For precisely the reason that we can change and grow, because we are people of the Spirit. We can't always make sense of what is happening right in front of us, but we can be assured of this. We are brothers and sisters of Christ. We are heirs of an eternal kingdom. We live lives of abundance and hope right here and now, and we look forward to what is ahead. And when we have the inclination to steal someone's notes to sabotage the possibility of what's next, we are reminded again and again of our central identity in Christ, that we are children of God, that we are loved, that we are not alone. Thank you for being the Church Mount Olivet and for making God's Spirit so fully known. Amen.